Joe said it. Nathan just kind of specified. There were a lot of people on hold, and all they kind of wrote in there was something was different yesterday, where I didn't even remember. Nathan is right as we bring him on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. I forgot, and I wrote it down in the notes, that a field goal banged off the upright and through. Just a wild day yesterday, and a very emotional day, Nathan.
Yeah, guys, thanks for having me on. Yeah, it was wild. It was emotional. I'm still drained after it. It was incredible. It was the outpouring of emotion from people, you know, just as I made my way into the stadium, as I walked around the field, people who brought in signs for Jim Donovan, and you just kind of felt it. And when they played that video before the game, you knew it was something. Andrew and I talked about it before the game, talked about it with the ACK. And we're like, they have to win. Like, we just have to win. That's just the way that this has to go today. And there were a few things that happened that certainly were difficult to explain. And, I mean, there's Kyle Hamilton catches that ball probably 999,999 times out of a million. But on this day, you know, you can't convince me Jim didn't knock it out of his hands. And it was magical, and it was emotional, and it was powerful. And it's something that, you know, seeing this celebration, I got to talk with Megan, Jim's daughter, kind of texting with her throughout the game and then even after the game, and it was so special to them. And then I know you guys have, I'm sure, talked about it or seen already, but so after the game, I went down to the locker room, and it was just kind of like a very joyous scene in there. But I knew that this meant a lot to Kevin Stefanski. He had shared some things with me about how just disappointed he was that, for example, you know, when we played the Giants, Jim was inducted into the Browns Legends class, that he wasn't able to give a game ball, you know, to the family. We had not won since that game in Jacksonville, and wanted to give one to Jim, obviously. But I went and saw him in the locker room after the game, and he had the game ball in his hands, and he goes, "I'm going to Hinkley right now." And Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry drove straight from Huntington Bakefield to the Donovan residence to give the game ball to Cheryl and Megan. And I mean, that says to me so much about the men that are running this organization, and just also so much about the how much Jim Donovan truly did mean, not just to this team, but to the city, to this region, and really to Browns fans around the world.
Well, Nathan, what was it like just being there and having that feeling and knowing you're trying to be composed and have a broadcast? And I don't know how you felt truthfully about whether or not they had a great shot to win that game yesterday, but then the next 3 hours happened. What was that like to be on the call?
It's something I certainly will never forget. I'm glad they put out the video of the kind of the final call, because I don't know, you guys probably experienced this even just doing shows. Like, sometimes you just almost kind of black out and you don't even remember what it is that you said in the moment. It was special, and it was, you know, it kind of helped, like, once the game got going, because we just kind of got back into calling a game. And then, you know, when you get into the fourth quarter and you know what the stakes are, and you know that this one was just so much more than a game. It wasn't just about beating the Ravens. We know the team, you know, 1-6 at that point, that, yeah, it would be great to beat the Ravens just kind of in isolation. But it was really, to me, it was more about they had to win that game for Jim. And so then, obviously, it got a little tense and emotional. I thought, you know, Andrew did a great job. And I was, you know, honored to be a part of it, thrilled to be a part of it. And, yeah, it was special. I'll never, ever, ever forget it. I wore the same outfit that I wore, with the exception of obviously wearing the Jim shirt, for what was my favorite moment previously in that booth, which was to be, you know, on that Thursday night game with Jim. And I have a picture that I'm actually looking at right now that hangs in my house of me and Jim from the pregame before that game against the Jets. And so I was like, I got to dial that back up. And I am a little bit superstitious, you could say. And sure enough, they found a way in it. Like, you could feel his presence there. I mean, you had people in front of us turning around, as they always would do for Jim the whole time, like talking about Jim, and they did such a classy thing in the press box. And then in our booth, there was a picture of Jim with a headset that was right there, and flowers, you know, kind of looking out for everybody to see in the stadium. It was surreal. It was just, I think I use the words at the end, like, it was just a fitting tribute to a person whose legacy is in many ways kind of unmatched, not only for what he did as a broadcaster, as the voice of the Browns, but also for those who got to know him and befriend him, just what kind of an authentic, real human being that he was, and just a great, great man. And so it had to be, I just kept saying it had to end that way. And it was, so cathartic, the fact that it actually did.
I thought one of the great things that he did, just observing him, you know, he worked with Doug, and I'm very close with Doug, and I know he was obviously very close with Doug. And you get used to having somebody there for a long time, and then, you know, Doug retires, and the Browns bring you into the booth, and Jim was so welcoming. And, you know, for some people, you know, that's a difficult thing to do. And he was so welcoming with you, and you could see that, boy, there was a real effort to, you're never going to be able to replace the guy you worked with for 20 years, but there's a real effort there to work and get along, and it came through on the air with you guys. I hope that other people have told you that, because I thought it was as seamless a transition as he could possibly make it be, and I hope you felt welcomed by him throughout, because it sounded great and it looked great when you'd go and visit you guys in the booth.
Yeah, there's no doubt. And that to me was, you know, so special, because I couldn't be Doug, right? For so many reasons. Absolute legend, played for the Browns, all of those things. So I had to just be me, and he welcomed that in. It stylistically, obviously, it was a big, big change in terms of just the way that I present information versus the way that Deke did. So I'm sure for Jim, that was a huge adjustment, and he just welcomed me in. And I always say that, you know, I was doing my broadcast for an audience of one, and that was the truth. And I was, if Jim Donovan was happy with the job that I did, then I was happy. And I think, you know, he and I, once we really got into that role, we'd been on the road together, you know, obviously when I was on the sidelines, I would travel with the team and we got to know each other and become friends. But when I got in that role, I think kind of our shared, you know, passion, our shared enthusiasm and energy. And also I think he knew that I took it as seriously as he did, that I put in the work and the preparation and all those things like he did. And I think that, you know, he respected that. But he was always, from day one, so welcoming to me. And, you know, then we became really, really close, really, really good friends. And I feel very honored that I got that opportunity to do that, you know, with him. But you're exactly right. He could not. And that's why he's just such a great guy. He really, truly is just such a great guy, infectious to be around in terms of his personality and the energy and the positivity. And I know that, I don't know if I said this with you guys on Friday, but probably not, because you probably weren't talking about it until Saturday, but I maybe said it on Sunday's morning. But, you know, the fact that I got 9 days under one roof with Jim Donovan this summer at the Greenbrier, it was me, Gibbs, and Donovan in a cottage at the Greenbrier, and to get to live with him and be around him every day. You know, at the time we knew it was special. I mean, Gibbe and I were like, this is so cool. We're get to hang out with Jim every day. We didn't realize just how obviously special it was in terms of, you know, that we wouldn't have that chance ever again. But it was really special, and he is a very, very special man.
Yeah, awesome words. Nathan Zagura, Browns Radio Network. Did Ken Dorsey in the booth calling the plays and Jameis Winston at quarterback solve the Browns? Did it fix everything?
I don't know if I would say that. I would say that it was pretty clear. And, you know, I'll be honest with you. I don't know about you guys. I just got done watching the first half on the All-22. I'm going to get through the second half after I got the phone with you guys. But a lot of it looked a lot like the same offense. I think that, you know, we've seen this offense be very successful with quarterbacks that can throw the football down the field. And Jameis certainly had a willingness to do that. We got lucky a few times, obviously, but his ability to see it, throw it with anticipation in the tight windows, and to not be afraid to push the ball down the field, I think that's the biggest change. You go back to what Flacco was able to do in this offense. You know, he would push the ball down the field. Now it comes with, at times, some interceptions. And like I said, we were lucky yesterday that we didn't have any of those. But I'll take that. I will take that ability to get it down the field. And you're seeing that, oh, man, Elijah Moore, I would say this might be one difference. Elijah Moore was used much more like a wide receiver in this game, and I would say he has not been used that way since that Thursday night against the Jets when Amari was a late scratch. He had to go play that X receiver role and did great. But you saw the routes he was running. He made huge catches. You had Tillman go for 99 yards and 2 touchdowns. He looked great. Jerry Jeudy looked great. I mean, I think the quarterback play, obviously, in this case, was elevating everybody around them. They were in sync, and you were taking advantage of the things that we had seen on tape that weren't taken advantage of previously. And I think that's what you got from Jameis Winston, and I think that mattered a great deal. I'll be curious, you know, this week as I'm in the building kind of talking about, okay, so what were the differences? Because stylistically to me, it looked very similar. Tons of under-center play action. So some of that same outside zone concepts in the run game. So I thought it looked very similar. I just thought the execution of it was significantly better with Jameis Winston at quarterback.
Nathan, we thank you very much for the time. I'll talk to you later this week. All the best.
All right, you got it, guys. Thank you.
Thank you. Nathan Zagura on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.